we're going to be back in the book of Job. Did we finish up chapter 10? Then we'll be in chapter 11. All right. I'd just like to say another word or two that I don't see where the participation of people in the Christmas celebration has dropped off in you.
Especially Gatlinburg.
Huh?
Especially Gatlinburg.
Oh. It's just gone. It's at a fever pitch. I mean, it really is all over. And I just like to, people ask me, do you celebrate Christmas? No, I'm not. I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Baptist. And I'm certainly not a pagan. Why would I celebrate a Catholic pagan holiday? Because that's what, so, well, oh, you mean that? Yeah. Give me the origin and the definition of the word Christmas. Google it and tell me what it is. It's not a secret, not at all. It is Christmas. Yep. And there's nobody that can deny that. Now, where is that in the Bible? That's not in the Bible. Christmas is not in the Bible. Oh, yeah, Christ is the word Christ, the Messiah, but it's not in that kind of a context at all. And certainly doesn't have the word mass attached to it. So where does that come from? Does that come from your good old independent Baptist church? No, it doesn't. So where does it come from? Well, obviously, it comes from Roman Catholicism. And that's what it is. It is the Christ Mass. You say, well, but you're just taking it too far. Now, I'm not taking it too far at all. I mean, that's just pretty much on the surface. That's what it means. Well, how about this then? How about a Christmas tree? Now, everybody, I mean, I appreciate my president and first lady, but they've got dozens of Christmas trees in the White House. It's their business. But does that mean that you're a Christian if you've got a Christmas tree? Does it have any relevance to it? No. So where would you find, if you're looking for scriptural justification for what you're doing, where would you go to in the Bible to find a Christmas tree? But see, Jeremiah 10, that does look more like a Christmas tree than anything in the Bible. And yet, what is that about? It's about a poor man's idol, is what it is. So would that suggest that possibly anything like that would also be an idol? And the thing he starts out with there, learn not the way of the heathen. So far, on the most popular things about this holiday, they don't come from the Bible. That ought to be enough to scare you. Well, what would you find in the groves? Trees and tree branches, mistletoe, and all of that. Well, there's just no question that all of those things, they're rooted in Nordic heathenism. Matter of fact, it all still is used in Nordic heathenism. Odin, I mean, those gods, those are still worshipped. And all of that stuff is the 12 days of Christmas. That's a very much part and parcel of that Nordic celebration. So, well, look at your history books. Where would it come from in history? It certainly doesn't come from the Bible. Where would the practice of it come from? Could it be that it traces back to Constantine? The 4th century pagan Roman emperor that adopted Christianity as a political movement. And certainly that's the first time in that century, the 4th century, after 325, that you find anybody celebrating Christmas. That's the earliest you can put it. The early Christians, the early believers, 1st, 2nd, 3rd centuries, they didn't do that at all. And so where do we get the Bible tells us there remains a Sabbath keeping for the children of God.
Amen.
That is a day for set aside for the Lord. There is Bible. Only that says that's done every week.
Amen.
Now these very people that are, oh, we've got to celebrate Christ's birthday. Got to have that day. What about the 52 days the rest of the other part of the year? Where are you on those days? Oh, well, we got things to do. What bothers me is these that try to contend that they're just doing that to celebrate Christ's birthday. All of this, I don't know what you call it. I'd like to call it garbage, but I'm just too well polished to do that. I wouldn't do that. But all of this stuff, this trappings and trash, all of this stuff with reference to that, oddly enough, I haven't heard the first word out here about Christ's birthday. But now if I say something about it, that's what I'm going to hear first. Well, we all got to celebrate Christ's birthday. We celebrate our own birthday. We got to celebrate Christ's birthday. Where does it tell you that? Doesn't tell you that anywhere in the Bible. If you go and you look up these articles that legitimate people, historians and all that have written on Christmas, these are all things that they'll tell you. The name comes right straight from Catholicism, Christ Mass. The worship or the celebrations or the Christmas tree and all of the mistletoe and the wreathings and the, all the stuff. Where's all that come from? Nordic, Northern Europe, European pagan worship. They'll tell you that. The practice of it became from Constantine. They'll tell you all of that. But all that doesn't matter. We've still got to go and do our thing here. And there's something on there, I think on Ken Ham's website or his Facebook. Is it? I can't remember where it is. I'm thinking Michigan or Indiana. There's a substitute teacher that was teaching in her class, and she let it slip that Santa Claus is not real.
Yeah.
And she's in the process of getting fired now.
Yeah. First grade, too.
Was it first grade? Now, it's okay if you tell them that there's no God. Or if you tell them that the Bible is not to be trusted, that's okay. But don't deny their little heathen. Don't deny that. And then the truth of the matter is, even that, sad to say, does have a little religious origin. He does. From that Catholic saint, Saint Nicholas, and all that. But anyway, so there you go on that old stuff again. Well, I understand. There has not been a tougher stand that I've ever had to take in my life than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll tell you what it can do. It can cause you to lose your whole family.
Right.
Whoa, I know it can. Absolutely. Break up your marriage. It sure can. So all in all, well, you shouldn't stand on it then. Really? When you know the truth, you've got to have to stand on the truth. And if you don't, you're a compromiser. Anyway, I just had to get that out because that thing's been on mine a little bit. Then you got the folks that say, well, put Christ back in Christmas. Well, the truth is he never was there. And I'm an old-fashioned, I still say Merry Christmas. I don't say it. No, I haven't said it for years. I don't say it. Now, they got a right to say it if they want to. Government doesn't have a right to say you can't say it. And I don't have a right to tell you can't do whatever. I can tell you what's right and what's wrong before the Word of God, from the Word of God. But I'm not your boss, and I'm not your dictator. All right, let's look at the book of Job. Amen. And I'll tell you what, this used to be the most miserable time of the year for me. I mean, it started at least late October, if not in early November. I mean, for years, it was a miserable, miserable time. When you don't have togetherness in your marriage, when your wife is not with you or their husband's not with you, and you're trying to take a stand, and you have that resistance, it's horrible, rebellion, resistance, miserable time, absolutely miserable. But to have it together, not bad at all. Anyway, Job chapter 11. Now, Job has just spoken. Now we're going to get the third of the three friends of Job. The fourth one comes in later, Elihu. But now we're going to get to Zophar, the Naamathite. We just had Bildad. Before that, we had Eliphaz. And now we've got Zophar, the Naamathite. And he said, here, listen to this one. But now look what he's done. He sat there in ashes for what? A week, crying. He heard Job talk. He heard Eliphaz talk. He heard Job talk. He heard Bildad talk. Now he's heard Job talk. And I don't think he's heard anything Job said. The only thing he has heard is what Eliphaz and Bildad have said. Because he's in tune with them. Because they are all three agreed that Job is the heavy here. All right. So now, Zophar, here's his attitude. Oh, it's my turn now. And I'll tell you what. Man been running his mouth like you. Shouldn't that be answered? That's what he's saying. Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Job, we're not just going to stand here and let you get away with doing all that talking. What an attitude for a friend trying to comfort you. Should thy lies make men hold their peace? Now they accuse him of lying. Well, just because you tell all them lies, you think we're going to hold our peace? We're going to be quiet? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? I don't know when Job has been mocking anybody. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure and I am clean in thine eyes. Well, that's what Job feels about himself. And can a man's doctrine be pure? And to an extent, Job is clean in his own eyes. He's never claimed absolute sinless perfection. But he's just saying, I've done nothing to warrant this. Now, but all that God would speak and open his lips against thee. Well, somebody's speaking and the lips are against him, but it ain't God. This is Zophar. And that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Now there's a true statement. But it certainly is not applied right. Is it true that God, that he exacts of us less than our iniquity deserves? Well, sure, of course, it's true of all of us. But that's not what Job needs to hear right now. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Well, that's a pretty true statement. Both of them are. You can't get to a microscope and find God. You can't take a big giant telescope and find God. By searching, you can't find out God. However, as Paul said, he's near you. Romans, he said, the word of faith is not near thee, even in thy mouth. And that's what Spurgeon said to that. It's in your mouth, swallow. Now you can't by searching find out God. You find out the Almighty unto perfection. You can't use human means to go find out God. His ways are higher than our ways. And past finding out. So that is a true statement. But that's not what Job's trying to do. It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? That information. Well, I don't know. I still don't know how high heaven is. Neither do any of the astronomers. We don't know how high heaven is. They talk about the billions of galaxies. They think that. We don't know how far can you go. Does it go on into infinity, just on and on and on and never quits? Not. I don't think it does. But how are you going to find the end of it? You're not going to do that. They got that Mars wagon on the way now. Didn't they have one just land up there recently?
Had something land this past week.
Yeah. And they've got another one on the way. I think they're going to try to dig down and find their evidence of life on Mars now. And that's what they're going to try to do. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for signs of Martians. I guess they can't. Youngsters don't remember Buck Rogers. I just barely heard something about him when I was a kid. Buck Rogers?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you see those old movies of Buck Rogers. See that rocket ship and flame coming out of it. Well, if you was a kid, you didn't notice it, but adults, you looked at it, it's obvious of some kind of little model doing that. When he went all over, up here. But you're not going to find out God that way. You're not going to find evidence of is it the History or the Discovery? One of those channels. They've always got ancient aliens on there. I don't watch it. Bunch of garbage. But that's what they're looking for. They're trying to figure out where we came from. And all they got to do is go to Genesis 1:1. And if they don't go to Genesis 1:1, they ain't never going to find out where we came from. The measure, therefore, is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Well, there's nothing wrong with those statements themselves. It's just, what's that got to do with the price of eggs in China? If he cut off and shut up or gathered together, then who can hinder him? Nobody can hinder God. For he knoweth vain men, he seeth wickedness also. Would he not then consider it? Who's he calling a vain man? He calling Job a vain man. Empty. And wickedness also. Verse 12, for vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. Now that's just, again, bad mouthing Job. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. Job, you need to be as pure as Eliphaz, Bildad, and I am. You need to have clean hands, brother. And you need to have it all cleaned up in your house. Because we know where the problem is. You ain't got clean hands, brother. And your house has got a mess in it. Because if it didn't have, this all wouldn't be happening. For then, verse 15, for then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. So far, how would you know? How would you know what it is to lift up your face without spot? You ain't never done it. But he's claiming he has. Thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. That is, if you lift up your face without spot. Now, Ben, as you ain't done that, you ain't lifting up your face without spot, you ain't going to be steadfast and fearless. Because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away. If you get all this straightened out, you'll forget all this. I don't know that Job ever forgot all this. Now, I could have, but I don't know that. And I highly doubt. Do you think you could put a year like this, do you think you could put it all away, forget about it all? But now, Zophar says you just get yourself cleaned up and you can do it. You can get rid of it. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning. And thou shalt be secure because there's hope. That is, where will that hope be, Zophar? Well, it would have to be in the fact that I've got my face clean, got my hands clean, got my house clean, and now that I've done all this, now I've got a secure hope. And Zophar, exactly what's your hope in? What do you think Zophar's hope would be in? In his spotless face, his clean hands, and his pure tabernacle. That's what his hope is in, not in the Lord. I like the old Black brother used to talk about brother so-and-so expressed his hope in Christ. They don't mean that. They mean the right thing by that. That lively hope, that sure, that steadfast hope that's entered in into the veil, that nail in a sure place. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. But now this is all contingent. This is all contingent for Job. Job, you've got to get as pure as we are. That's what he's saying. Also thou shalt lie down and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. Why, when you get as pure as we are, we're as pure as the driven snow. You get your hands as clean as ours are. Get your house all, tabernacle all cleared out. Get your face spotless. Why, then you can lie down and you'll not be afraid of anything. You'll not be afraid, and though everybody brings lawsuit against you, you won't be afraid. You just need to set your sights on us. Use us as your example. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail. And they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Well, the giving up of the ghost is dying. Their hope's dead. And their eyes shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall die. Unless you get as pure as we are. And that's the overall thing that they're saying. Now, Job actually said, I really appreciate Job's spirit here. No doubt. But y'all are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. So far, when you die, what's going to happen to wisdom? There won't be none left. You're going to take it all to the grave with you. Well, I know you're all the people. You're the shining example for all of us poor, sinful peons. Of course, that's not what God said. If you consider my servant Job, one that's perfect, right, fears God and eschews evil. But Job says, but I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? You haven't told me anything new, fella. I know these basic truths about God, and they're all true. But you're applying them to me, and they don't apply to me for my situation. I am as one mocked of his neighbor who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just upright man is laughed to scorn. Who's the just upright man? It's Job. And you all are laughing me to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. Whose feet are ready to slip? Job's are. He's at the point of despair. But he knows, he's got enough that he knows that these fellows are not telling me the right thing. They're not telling me what I need. And with reference to them telling me that the only reason I'm suffering is because I'm a wicked sinner, he says, what about this? The tabernacles of robbers prosper. Woo! Who's he comparing them to now? Zophar, Bildad, and Eliphaz. Robbers, the tabernacles of robbers. Many times, the criminals of this world prosper big time. They do. No, what's his name? The big drug lord they got. Well, Noriega's gone to prison a long time ago. The one they just got. El Chapo. Now, he ain't prospering so much right now. However, he really still is in prison. He's knocking off people and doing everything in prison. But a man got the money he's got, he does prosper. Does that mean he is right before God? Well, you talk about the big time guys, the Kennedys. How did old Joe Kennedy make that fortune that all that whole family still got? Bootleg. Running bootleg whiskey during the Depression, the Prohibition. You don't think he had something to do with that politically, do you? Getting that passed, Prohibition? Wouldn't doubt it. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure. I don't know too many now, but I've known many missionaries that really struggled. I've known many Baptist preachers, independent Baptist preachers that really struggled. Could barely put food on their table for standing for preaching the word of God. I've known lots of them. I've known Christians, faithful Christians that really struggled. I've known lots of them. I think you probably have too. Does that mean that they're not serving God? That they're struggling financially, economically? Look, tabernacles of robbers prosper. So that you can't tell who's serving God by how they are financially prospering. And they that provoke God are secure. So why doesn't God just strike it all down that say bad things about God? I've heard plenty of people say, why did God let them go? You'll have to ask God that. But the fact is, that's not a surefire way to get struck down by provoking God. That guy, what's his name, from England, the atheist, wrote the book, The God Delusion. Richard Dawkins, yeah. Bill Maher, M-A-H-R. Filthy talking about God. So why does God let them get away with that? You'll have to ask God that. But there's plenty of people that provoke God that they're secure. And into hand whose hand God bringeth, well, that abundantly, of course, is in italics. But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? I know the animal rights people, they've tried, they're doing a good job of, they put circuses out of business. I think that's a crying shame. I think it's a crying shame to our country that we've let a bunch of idiots like that stop circuses. Oh, well, they're not treating the elephants right. Them elephants get treated a whole lot better than they get treated in the wild. Those animals get treated a whole lot better than they get treated in the wild. You watch the animal channel. What is it? Animal Planet. That's not the name of it. What is the name? You know the channel about the animals?
Animal Planet.
Huh? Okay. They've had a whole lot about prides of lions going and trying to kill water buffalo. Those Cape buffalo. Well, you know, if they're not careful, those buffalo will kill the lions.
Yeah.
It showed one of those horns went right in his eye, lion's eye, or it's, I guess it was a female, put that eye out, went up in its front paw, ruined that leg, and guess what's going to happen to that lion? The rest of them, they'll cannibalize it. Or the hyenas will get it. He's on his way out. And all that pain, he's not going to get him. What if that happened to a lion that's in a zoo? Got a whole team of veterinarians there. Take care of him. And their lifespan much greater than they are in the wild. It ain't no easy life out there in the wild. Go ahead. Get out there. And you got that bunch of idiots that goes out there naked. And how stupid are they? And certainly ain't nothing erotic about that. But go living out in the wild. Watch these jailbirds escape from jail. And they live for weeks out in the woods. Guess what? They're anxious to be caught. They're sick, cold, hungry, thirsty. They can't make it out there. You gotta be ready to live out in the wild, buddy. You better have your stuff and know what you're doing. Isn't that right?
Yep.
It ain't no place to live. Anyway, ask all these. I mean, all the animals, the fish, the birds. Bad things happen out there. A lot of bad things happen out there. And ain't nobody cares. Nobody's going to help. Lots of bad things happen to lots of people. And there ain't no help. They talk about all the help that the government's got. What if you're the right color and the right language, you know? You can get some help. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you've got a mother and a daddy that care for you, and a brother or sister that cares for you, you better hold on to them. Am I right or wrong? You better appreciate them, because ain't nobody else going to do it. Well, they can't. They got their own stuff to take care of. You say, well, nobody cares about me. Do you care about anybody else? It's a rough world there is. And you're not, you don't deserve everything. You don't deserve anything. And nobody owes you anything. How many agrees with that? Nobody owes me anything except Joe Blow that borrowed $1,500 from me. He owes me. Or $3,000. But other than something like that, nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you. And if somebody decides to do something for you, thank God for his grace. But it's a rough world out there. Has been ever since the Garden of Eden. Verse 10, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? In God's hand. Doth not the ear try words and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. He's talking about the sovereignty of God. The providence of God controlling his creation. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. Boy, we know that from the flood, don't we? With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. What straightens mean? Narrows. He enlarges them, narrows them. He narrows them and enlarges them. Find fault with him. He take away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. And only God can do that. Amen. What did he do to Nebuchadnezzar, the big Babylonian king? Was it 7 years he took his understanding away? And he ate grass like an ox? You could have got all of Eastern State Hospital staff. You could have got all of comprehensive care nationwide. You could have got all of the psychiatrists. Got them all together as a team. They could have They could have conferred with one another about Nebuchadnezzar. What are we going to do about Nebuchadnezzar? Well, let's get Dr. Hall Jones from the university. Maybe he can help us. There wasn't a thing anybody could do for Nebuchadnezzar. Let's get his army together. Maybe they can do something. No, can't get any help there. Where are you going to get help? You're going to have to get help from the same source that caused the problem, that took his understanding away. And when God sovereignly takes that away and restores his understanding, guess where Nebuchadnezzar will be? He'll be opening that last gate, coming out of that last field. Standing straight and going to get a haircut and a manicure. Get them long fingernails cut and get that long hair. Get clean shaven and get some clean clothes on and get rid of this smell. Got his understanding back. Where'd he come from? God gave it. The same one that took it. And he didn't miss out on one day that God ordained him to lose his understanding. And that's what he's saying to all of this stuff here. Everybody, he leadeth counselors away, spoiled. He maketh the judges fools. They all call on all of their great wisdom, and they can't outthink God. And Job says, lo, mine eye hath seen all this. Mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I'm not inferior unto you. What you know, I know also. You think you're better than I am because you're not going through this? You're not better than I am. I'm not inferior to you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. I don't want to reason with y'all. You're not reasonable beings. You're not reasonable people. You're self-righteous hypocrites. He says, you all are forgers of lies. They called Job, so far called Job a liar, didn't he? Ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. That's what old Elder Ward said. He said, why do all these preachers around call themselves doctor and everybody's still sick? He says, you are physicians of no value. You don't earn your keep. You can't do a thing for anybody, and you certainly haven't done a thing for me. You just added to my agony. But remember what he said, and he said that a long time ago, that whatever happens is God that either directs it or permits it. But in the final analysis, he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Let's stand. Amen.